Good morning, everyone. It's Thursday morning, 24th of January, 2019. Have you ever had someone tell you that when they posted an email online to people that they knew it was going to make you mad? I did. This week, I had someone tell me, I knew that when I sent that email out, it was going to make you mad. Now, this is a person that says he loves me. Okay? Now, if he really loved me, would he have not called me before he posted the email and said, hey, maybe we need to discuss this? But you know, what he did is he was making some charges or allegations against me, okay? Now, whether I was guilty or not of those allegations, was he not just as guilty by premeditatively writing something that he knew would make me angry before discussing it with me? I think so. Good morning, Alan Taylor. Good morning, Equal Macy. Good morning, Gabriel Roney. Good morning, George Massa. Have you ever had someone tell you that they were going to do something and they just never did follow up and do it? And then you may have reminded them that they didn't do what they said they were going to do, and then they reaffirmed they were going to do it, and then they never did it. And they never offered you an exclamation as to why they didn't do it. Good morning, George Massa is from the Philippines. Good morning, Ashley Kinney. God bless. Good morning, Daniel Guara from Kenya. Have you ever had someone tell you some information, give you some covenants, or you have an agreement between them, and then they just break what they said they're going to do? We all have. We all have done it, too, to other people. You know, well, why am I bringing this up this morning? Well, we cannot put our faith and trust in man. That's what I'm trying to convey. Our faith, our confidence, and our trust has to be in God and His Word. If we put our trust in princes, we're not wise, the book of Proverbs tells us. You know, we may respect someone an awful lot. Good morning, Christina Coahuila. Aquila, we may respect someone an awful lot. We may think we have a relationship with that person that we really don't have. We may be deceived, you know. I recently had an experience where I had a relationship with a gentleman, and he just, he really threw me for a loop. He really threw me. Two people in the last week. And whether it was premeditated, well, the one fellow admitted that it was premeditated, okay? Or whether it was planned out, okay? But realize that Satan is good at sowing discord among the brethren. He's really good at that. The Holy Spirit is good of edifying the brethren and building the brethren up. But Satan is good at sowing discord. Now, I have another question for you all. Is it more important to uphold a man or a woman or is it more important to uphold the Word of God? It should be obvious, the answer to that question. But many times we will compromise wanting the acceptance of others and let the Word of God be put over on a shelf, won't we? We shouldn't do that. God's Word should have preeminence. You know, a lot of times people will accuse someone of wanting preeminence when they're merely trying to stand up for the Word of God. Isn't that the case? You know, if I had my rathers, I'd sit in the corner and just twiddle my thumbs and not say anything. Do you know what? Like Martin Luther, I cannot be silent. I cannot be. There's a lot of people that are in their little comfort zones and they don't want to, they know that if they stand up for the Word of God, it's going to stir the pot, so to speak. Right? I don't like conflict. I don't like controversy. I don't like drama. Okay, I don't. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. I'll do everything I can to steer away from drama and conflict. But when it comes to the Word of God, when people start attacking the Word of God and start putting questions in the minds of other people about the Word of God and attacking its infallibility and its inherency. I had a person this week email me and stated, if I can find one thing wrong in the King James Version of the Bible that's been mistranslated, that proves that it's not infallible. One thing. Well, he's right. He's right. There's nothing wrong in the Word of God, in the Authorized Version of the Bible. There's nothing wrong in it. And you say, oh, Larry, you're one of those King James Version only people and all that. Listen, what inspired, if you want to call that, what infused, what motivated all these other corrupted translations of the Word of God? It certainly didn't come from Christ. It certainly didn't come from Christ. There are numerous passages in the Bible that talk about the fact that God has preserved His Word. That is part of His nature. He has said, if what I've spoken out of my mouth, I will do. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We were talking about how the people are fickle, and probably there's no more person in the world that's more fickle than yours truly, Larry Phillips. I don't like it. I falter and I fail miserably. And my falterings and my failings, God uses as evidence to me of my only hope, which is in the infallible Word of God. And when people start attacking my Lord and His Word, I get righteously indignant. Now, I wanted to let everyone know that we're going to be having a fellowship this evening. Christina has asked that we remember her in prayer. So all of our audience, I don't know what the needs are. I don't have to know what the needs are. We all have needs in our lives. But let all those people that are on with us this morning say a special word of prayer for Christina, that God would bless her at the point of her need. Good morning, Ross Plotner. And you all pray for me as well. And I'll pray for you. And tonight at 6 o'clock, we are going to be having a little bit different format. We're going to be having a fellowship call. And for the sole purpose of building each other up in the faith of Christ. And it's going to be here on Facebook Live, and it's also going to be on TalkShoe. Now, if you don't know anything about TalkShoe, we have broadcasts on TalkShoe where people call in. We often have speakers that speak on topics. We try not to get people to dominate the conversation and get up and just be a one-man band. Tonight we will have several different people join us. We're going to have Brother Mark Kennedy join us. We're going to have Brother Carl Roberts join us. And you're welcome to join us. You're welcome to join us live. I'm going to give you the phone number right now. It's at 6 o'clock Central Time this evening. And you can call in. And the phone number is 605-562-0444. That's 605-562-0444. And if you call in, you can determine whether you mute your mic or whether you want to unmute your mic. Okay? You don't have to talk. You can stand in the corner and twiddle your thumbs. The only protocol for this fellowship call, and people say, oh, here we go, he's going to try to control the call. To a certain extent, yes. If your motive for calling in is to sow discord among the brethren, don't call in. That's not the purpose of this call. If your purpose is to call in to promote some false doctrine, whatever it is, whether it's Mormonism, Catholicism, Arminianism, Mohammedism, Confucianism, Baha'i Faith, Calvinism. Okay, I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe in baptismal regeneration. I don't believe in holy water. I don't believe in infant baptism. I do believe in baptism by immersion. Okay. But if your reason to call in to the program tonight is to try to sow discord among the brethren, I would rather you just not call in at all. Okay. That's not the purpose of this tonight. If you're a preterist, I don't want to hear it. If you're into the secret rapture, I don't want to hear it. Okay? I want people who are Bible believers, who uphold the Word of God, to call in and we'll build each one another up in the faith. Okay? If your reason for calling in is to beg for money, don't call in. This is not a fundraising mechanism. By the way, I tell our listeners, you know, don't send me money, please. I do not accept donations. Okay? This is not about money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? So don't call in and say you've got a gift for the program. We don't need your gifts. Okay? And don't call in and beg for money for orphans and poor people and your ministry and all this. You know? That's not what this format is for tonight. This format is to build one another up in the faith of Christ and to exalt His Word and exalt His completed work on the cross for us. To exalt His imputed righteousness. Again, that phone number is 605-562-0444. And don't call in for the purpose, premeditated purpose of trying to make me mad. Because you probably will. You know, what I'm saying is that you say, well, why would you make a statement like that? Look, I'm fleshy just like everybody else. Do Do I have hot buttons? Yeah. One of them is people start attacking his word. That's a hot button for me. Okay. Another hot button is when people try to take on a popery mentality. Okay. I'm up here. You're down there. I'm ordained by men. You're not ordained by men. Okay. I wasn't called by men. Okay. I wasn't ordained by men. I was called by Jesus Christ for the work that I'm doing. I don't take on a title. I believe that I'm in ministry, but I don't take on a title for many reasons. Because when people start taking on titles, look out. They start using that title as a way of lording it over other people. I had that happen this week. You know, once a person becomes ordained by men and has men's papers, they show you their papers. And they use their papers as a means of trying to control you and to bind your conscience. Am I against proper church leadership? No, I'm not. Am I against elders and deacons and bishops? No, I'm not. As long as they're ordained by God and not man. Okay? So anyway, that's kind of what's on my mind this morning. And don't put your confidence in men. Because please, don't ever put your confidence in this old boy. Because he will fail you. I guarantee you. He will falter. And the only way you can put your confidence in Christ is if he has put his faith in you first. As many as were ordained to eternal life will believe. Not as many who believe are ordained to eternal life. Okay. John 6:29 says that this is the work of God that you believe on him. It's the work of God. It's not your work. Okay. We have been given the faith of Christ. Where does belief and faith originate from? Does it originate from someone who's dead in their trespasses and sin? I think not. Faith comes from Almighty God. Hebrews 12:2. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Good morning, Siddharker. I'm waving at you right now. Okay. He's sending me a message. But anyway, I want to encourage everyone, if you can join us tonight, we'd love to have you, as long as you are in the criteria I mentioned, okay? You say, well, why do you put your disclaimers on people who call in? Because, I've seen it all. Well, I probably haven't seen it all, but I've seen a lot over the last 12 years in ministry on sermon audio. I could write a book on my experiences of broadcasting over 2,000 messages on sermon audio. By the way, if you want to access those messages, you can go to sermonaudio.com/housechurch. sermonaudio.com/housechurch. And so, I've been beat up. I've been black and blue. And I've had people lay false charges against me and all kind of things. I've had people, you know, demand that I take my sermons down off of sermon audio because I'm not properly ordained. And you know what my answer to them is? The same answer that Paul gave to them. I conferred not with flesh and blood. My calling did not come from man. My calling came from Christ. That's why I'm talking to you this morning, hoping to give some practical things to think about. Don't exalt a man and lay up on a pedestal. You know, I never could understand why they had pulpits in churches and why they have platforms in churches where you have some one man towering up over everybody else. I will not stand up in a pulpit. I just won't. We're all level in Christ. I remember seeing a Dr. James Kennedy when he was still alive at the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, and how he had this great big pulpit way up above everybody else, towering over him within his gown or robes and all of his degrees and everything. And he's one of these people that would call certain people the divines. Can you imagine saying that out of a person, one of the divines? Christ said, call no man rabbi, call no man master. And we got John MacArthur naming his college Master's College. I had a fella in the Sovereign Grace Churches. He liked to let everybody know that he had two doctor's degrees. He had plastered all over his website, you know. And I called him up and I said, how can you do this? Why do you have to let people know you have a doctor's degree? You know what he said? Which doctor's degree are you talking about? I have two. He was proud of the fact he had two doctor's degrees. You know, Scripture tells us that he has confounded the wise with foolish things. You know, people put all this emphasis in academia and their ability to properly interpret the Greek and the Hebrew. That's a control mechanism. It's a way of controlling somebody. That's why it's important to know that the authorized King James Version of the Bible is all we need for faith and practice. We don't need some doctor of Greek or Hebrew to explain to us the Word of God. We don't need it. Because they use it as a prideful thing, a way of controlling people. It's what they do. I'll just read you a passage here in 1 Corinthians. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, I like that, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You ever read that? Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I guess that's why Christ called this old plumber's son. Okay, I know that water runs downhill and payday's on Friday. Okay. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world. Being a plumber sometimes can be pretty base, I can tell you. Do I need to be more specific? And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. No, I've never gone to Notre Dame. No, I've never graduated from a Jesuit college. No, I've never attended a cemetery, and I'm glad I haven't, okay? That no flesh should glory in his presence. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Amen. but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained for the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, not of men, not of public institutions, not of seminaries, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, not in having a doctor's degree in original manuscripts and original Greek, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. All these people saying, you're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to judge. Not what Scripture says here. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yea, he himself is judged of no man. How can we make any discernments about anything if we don't make judgments about them? If someone calls me on the phone and starts attacking the Word of God, or he gets on a talk program and starts attacking the Word of God, I am supposed to have spiritual discernment about that. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us this morning. And I want to welcome aboard Joseph Benethi, Pedro Calavendico. It's good to see you, Pedro. We've kind of been missing each other. Love you, brother. Pastor Cook and Lloyd McDougal. And I want to close this out today to remind us of our state. Of our state. If we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I've been tired, and I read this a lot, and I'll probably continue to read a lot. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Let it be understood exactly what I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like the Apostle Paul said. I'm a despicable, vile creature who was raised up from the dead. I deserve the wrath of God, but it was placed on Christ instead. When I think of how vile and wretched this poor sinner really is, it gives me pause to wonder how awesome Christ forgives. To suffer, bleed, and die on a cruel, rugged tree, and cry out while he was dying to forgive a sinner like me. What a marvelous act of mercy and kindness he did to me show, when I deserved to be cast into hell, there to forever go. All my praise and worship should sing forth for eternity, for Christ bleeding and dying to save a wretched sinner like me. Is that your testimony this morning? It certainly is mine. May the good Lord be with you, is my prayer. And may we always give all glory and honor to our King. Let's not put our trust or faith in the arm of flesh in man. For the arm of flesh will fail us every time. But underneath us are the everlasting arms of our loving Savior, our Abba Father. God bless.